going to read from Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted among in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to use this verse to invite us to meditate, to call us to prayer, to stand before God. And as we get ready to do that, I want us to think about what each of these words mean. The message of tonight, the theme of tonight is resting in God, resting in Jesus Christ, being at peace. And that's what these verses, these words call us to do. Think about this phrase that I'm going to say, and let me know what comes to mind. The phrase, just do it. What is it associated with?
Nike.
Pretty much everybody said it within a couple of seconds, right? Nike, just do it. This one man came up with a brand that is, you know, millions of dollars. Just do it. And it sticks in our mind, and it's associated with action, putting on a pair of overly priced shoes and sweating, right? You see the commercials. And doing something really intense and getting a prize. Just do it. Action. Keep going. Train. Work hard. This verse says the opposite of that. It says be. It says just be. I want to look at each word and kind of allow it to sink in so we can meditate on it, so we can use it as a way to pray, as a way to let God's presence into our lives. So the first word is be, and it's the idea of resting. Notice it doesn't say do. None of this says that. There's no verb action in there. It says be. Why is this important? I'm told just to be. I'm not told to do this or that. I think it's especially important for us in Southern California, for young people or older people, whoever it is, because our society expects us to do, right? The boss, the teacher, the friends. Everybody expects us to do this or do that. If they don't, we expect it of ourselves. I got to do this, right? I got to work hard to get money, to have power or fame or whatever it is. If I do this, if I do enough, maybe I'll have more worth, or maybe people will like me, or so on and so forth. The action, kind of staying busy all the time. Or if I stay busy, then I won't have to really face what my life is like, that maybe my life is empty. If I do enough, maybe I can ignore and shut off that voice, shut off all the doubts and the questions, and maybe I won't have to think about the meaning of life and why I'm doing all these things. And God says, be. He calls us to be, just not do anything, just be. What does it call us to be is the next part of it. It says, be still. To understand what stillness means, I want us to look at the opposite. It's in Isaiah 57, 20 to 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, my God says my God, for the wicked. That's the opposite of be still. It's the wickedness. We've all been to the ocean, especially during a storm, or just going to the ocean and you see it kind of constantly hitting the shore, right? It never stops. That's how the wicked are described, especially during a storm. All it does is it throws up dirt, right? Whether it's a storm in my life or whether it's wickedness, there's a lack of peace when God is not involved. And it's not just me that gets moved from one side to the other in this storm of sin or whatever else is going on. It's other people. It says the wicked can't be quiet. It's simply impossible for the ocean to stop, for the waves to stop moving. That's what they do. The wicked are like that. They have no peace, and they toss dirt. Not only does it affect my life, my busyness, my whatever, I throw dirt on other people. That's the opposite of be still. It's being like the tossing sea. For the other example, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out, and they sailed, and he fell asleep. And a storm came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger, and the disciples woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up, rebuked the wind and raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. The storm's raging, the wind is blowing. It says the boat is full of water. It says it was swamped. It doesn't matter at that point if the sea stops or not. Part of the miracle is that the boat kept floating, the power of Jesus Christ. These waves, like huge mountains, right, they keep rising. If you've ever seen the ocean during a storm, right, there's these huge waves. There's great danger that these people are facing in this small boat. How do we know it was dangerous? Well, these were fishermen. That's what they did, right? If I go in there and a bit, you know, slightly big wave comes up, I think I'm going to die, even though if I'm in no danger, because I'm not at sea. I'm not a fisherman. But these people, that's what they did. That was every day they went out and they fished. So if they're saying, we're going to die, they know what they're talking about. They correctly assessed the situation, and they stopped trying. There was absolutely nothing these people could do but be still. So they cried out. They knew they were going to drown. And what does Jesus do? He gets up and he rebukes the wind and the storm. And what does he say? Well, Luke doesn't tell us, but Mark does. Mark 4:39, Jesus stands up and he says, quiet, be still. The same words that we find in the psalm. Jesus takes the storm, he takes the trials in our lives, the wickedness, and he says, be still. We've all seen storm, wind, rain, and none of us has ever been able to stop any of it. But God, man, Jesus, stands up and says, be still, and the entire storm stops. In fact, the Message version says, everything was quiet as a sea of glass, like complete calm. So those are the words, be still. And it's not the words, it's who says them, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, that has the authority. And here in the psalm, we hear the command, the same power, the same authority that says, be still to the waves. In the psalm, it says, be still. It's a command, but it's also an invitation, right? God, Jesus Christ, is inviting us to be still. How does this apply to us? The disciples knew they were drowning. There was absolutely nothing they could do. That storm was going to bring them down. All they could do was call on Christ. He's already sent out his word. He's already put in out the invitation and said, be still. Our action is to accept, to realize, to trust, to allow these words of God to enter into our lives and to respond, just like the storm does, to respond and to allow the words of God to quiet our lives, our souls. The next word is and. Be still and. And is not a really fancy word. It's not very important. We overlook it. But it means something here because it connects two ideas. Being still is not enough. We can be still all we want. People meditate. People can be still for hours in different traditions and religions. It doesn't mean anything, right? Simply being still is not enough. The sentence continues. It says, be still and. That means that there's another part of it that goes together. And what? Be still and know. Know what? How can we know something? Well, there's a couple ways. I can think about it, right? I can experience it. I can feel emotions, or it can be revealed to me. If I make a statement, if I read something, how do I know that it's true? Pilate said, what is truth? Here we have the word know. Well, how can we know? And what do we need to know? We know it's true because God's the one that's revealing it to us. These words in this psalm are the words of God, the Creator, which means it's absolute truth. We don't need to do any other research. We can be still and know. That's the knowledge that brings life. Listen to the words again, and then allow them to enter our hearts. Be still. Be still and know. Know what? That's the question. What do we need to know? The next part is, be still and know that I am. Do those words sound familiar? I am who I am, right? That's from Exodus. Moses is saying, I got to go to these people. You told me you're going to let my people go, but how shall I introduce you? When we introduce somebody, you say, that's so-and-so. That's Dan or Steve or Linda or Melissa or whoever. God gives a very strange introduction. He says, tell him I am who I am. What does that mean? God is present. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Right? There's no need to look into the future. He's right here in the middle of it. God says, I am. What does that also mean? There's no containing him. When you say, I am, that means everything. You can't put it in a box and say, well, God's like this or God's like that. Yes, he is, but he's also I am. He's just present right now, in the past, in the future. And so these verses, this verse invites us to be still and know that I am. You see, if we're able to be still, then we can know, right? We can know reality. We can know what's really important. We can know that I am. And then the final part that captures it is God, right? I am God. That's the most powerful, supreme being that we can imagine. And it puts us in the right relationship. This verse speaks truth into our lives. It says we're the creation. If we're listening to God and we allow these words into our lives, that means that I'm on the bottom and God's on top, and he's the one that sets my reality. So in conclusion, I would invite us to stand and get ready to pray and allow these words to enter into our lives, into our hearts. And you know, I fail at this all the time, being still and knowing that he is God. But that doesn't mean that we can't continue to allow these words to work, that we can't continue to invite God's presence into our lives. And as we pray, use these words, allow them to enter into our lives. And I wouldn't say it just for now. I find it helpful throughout the day, right? Just take a moment, whatever it is, be still and know that I am God, is what he says to us. These are steps that lead us into God's presence. Be still and know that I am God. We're invited into God's presence. A final image that I want us to leave with is a baby. I'm very familiar with that. I have almost a one-year-old. And when you hear the term sleeping like a baby, I don't know who came up with that, but babies do not sleep. For 10 months, this little guy woke up 2 to 4 times a night. And he tosses and he turns and he cries. Right? But you spend 10 minutes, you spend half an hour, and you hold him, and he cries, and he fights you, and it's really frustrating. And then finally, I can hear him, and he goes, that moment of being still, right? That's what God invites us to when he says, be still. Yes, it's a command to the storm. It's a command to our lives, but it's also an invitation. Let's hear it as this, as a father. Shh. Be still, right? We hear God's presence. Elijah heard it, right? He heard it as a still, small voice. But there's a storm, but my friends, but my family, but my job, but my kids, but my fears, but my sins. Shh. Right? We allow God's presence to still our souls. So in conclusion, listen to the words and let's go into prayer. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. And let's go into this God's presence and pray.